24. Padding the resume. The pop-up targets were easy enough to hit. The trick with those was that you had a limited time to aim and fire before they would drop again. These targets, much like the ones used by the military, were designed to make shooting instinctual as well as heightening one's reflexes. Eventually, you were conditioned to fire without thinking when you saw a hostile target. I'd spent about an hour focused on these targets and ignoring the strafing targets and the targets that could pop up, drop, move, and pop up elsewhere. It was admittedly difficult at first to ignore the movements of the targets I wasn't looking for, but the hour had paid off. Your crossbow skill has increased to level 5.
You're going to have to change it up to keep improving, lad. Start working the strafing targets next,
Rowan said as he walked up next to me and helped reload the line of hand crossbows on the counter in front of me. While I worked on improving my skills, he'd been upstairs tending to his shop.
You're also going to have to eventually need to get used to quickly reloading these, which means you won't be able to shoot 2 at a time anymore.
I gave him a knowing smirk in response. I've got a plan for that after we're done here, so I'd like to keep practicing with dual wield, I said. Rowan carefully studied me for a moment as if he was reconsidering some previous assessment. His only response was an approving nod as he walked back to what passed for the control panel for the range and reset it. Strafing targets were a different animal altogether compared to pop-up targets and required development of completely separate techniques. Whereas pop-ups were stationary with a small window to shoot, moving targets had a larger window, but you had to know where and when to aim and fire. Otherwise, your shot would land where the target used to be instead of where it was at that moment. After a couple of shots, I started learning how to properly lead targets. Something like this would have been simpler with modern firearms due to the faster projectiles, but with a hand crossbow, you had to lead a bit farther thanks to the slower travel speed of a bolt. Of course, once I started getting into a routine after the first hour, Rowan came down and watched my progress. Realizing I'd become complacent, he flipped another switch before heading back upstairs and the targets started moving at different speeds. Some would even stop mid-strafe, leading to shots missing completely. I worked the targets like this for another 2 hours. It was much more mentally exhausting than the pop-up targets, just because I wasn't able to judge lead distance based on movement speed from instinct and experience yet. Not only that, my arms were killing me from holding them out for so long. I guess even someone with my respectable stats in strength and endurance had his limits. That exhaustion, combined with the fact that I finally hit level 10 in crossbow, meant I was more than willing to accept Rowan's offer to take a break and chat. It seemed like his opinion of me had graduated from useful and profitable acquaintance to potential friend and ally, because he opened the conversation with trying to learn more about me.
"So why are you working so hard to make all this money, lad?"
he said to me once I was nice and comfortable in the seat he offered me in a back room of the shop. It seemed to be his personal library, as the walls were absolutely covered in books, and there was a desk in the back with stacks of notes. The question caught me off guard, honestly. It was unusual for an NPC to be curious as to a player's motivations. I thought they all would assume we were fueled by dreams of glory and riches, and that's why we were adventurers. I want a better life for both myself and my family. We've always been on the edge of poverty, and my parents have worked themselves half to death to make sure that we never tipped over the wrong side of that line. I want to make sure they don't have to struggle anymore. I want to make sure I don't struggle anymore. Then I want to help people, came my word vomit reply. I guess I had been holding on to that for a while, and he seemed to be the first person really interested in why I was doing what I was doing. Again, Rowan looked at me as if for the first time. Maybe he thought of me as a cutthroat and greedy bastard at first. Now he must have finally thought of me as a real person, with multifaceted goals. The strangest part was I was starting to think the same of him. Sure, he was an NPC in a game, but conversations like this felt so real. Without a word, he stood and went back into the main store area of the building. I wasn't sure what to do, so I sat and waited for him, hoping I hadn't somehow offended him or caused him to change his mind. A few moments later, he returned and motioned for me to follow him. I closed up early. The next part is going to take some assistance. Follow me, lad, he said. Through a doorway and corridor, I was led to a sparring room not unlike Dez's dojo. Rowan went to the opposite side and pulled two sparring long swords from a rack on the wall. Both were dulled and lacked sharp points. Sure, they'd hurt, but they were much less likely to be fatal.
"A bit of advice, lad," Rowan started as he took his first stance. "There's no more nobler reason to acquire wealth than to use that wealth to help others. That said, that same altruism with your wealth puts targets on the backs of you and everyone you help. See, some folks are going to see that money go to others, and they'll want it for themselves," he continued, as he began going through warm-up drills that I did my best to imitate. "They feel entitled to what others are getting. The worst part is, sometimes those same folks got as much or more money than you. They just think they're supposed to get a piece of the pie, no matter how full they already are."
Finishing his spiel and his drills, he turned to face me.
"Ready,"
he said, less than a second before launching himself at me. His attacks were fast and brutal. Only my high dodge from both skills and items kept me from being destroyed in seconds. If not for that, Rowan would probably be waiting for me to wake up to continue our training.
"Don't rely so much on your dodges with a longsword. Parry me and counter the attack. You have a longer reach and more blade to use than you do with your twin dagger, so take advantage of that,"
Rowan chided me as he continued his barrage. Having a single weapon was an incredibly unusual feeling after using two weapons for so long. I found myself constantly having to stop my empty hand from coming up to parry or catch an attack. Rowan was only willing to put up with it for about 10 minutes before holding up his hand to signal he was stopping. Once he had my attention, he went to the rack again and grabbed an odd-looking dagger which he tossed to me. The first thing I noticed was that it was longer than Boldsbane and Gnomesgain, and it was much heavier. It also featured more protection for the hand.
"That blade you got is called a main gauche. It's a type of parrying dagger," he said, answering the unasked, "What the fuck is this?" that I was holding on to. "You can match my reach with the long sword, but you got that dagger to knock my attacks out of the way," he explained. "Save it mostly for thrusts and slashes from the side. The way you fight, you'll leave yourself wide open on anything else."
After that, I was starting to think I was destined to use two weapons at once for the rest of my time in game. Our spars were nothing like before. I was able to dodge, parry, or block nearly every attack he sent my way. After a while, I was even seeing the openings these created and took advantage, scoring several hits on Rowan's chest, arms, and stomach. I thought he would need a break after the hits until I realized every blow was being stopped by something under his clothing.
"How the hell are you still standing?"
I finally asked in frustration after a particularly hard blow to his stomach.
"Guess you figured out I've got something on underneath, eh?"
he replied as he began to explain the mystery.
"Elven chainmail is what it is. It's lightweight, tough as hell, and thin enough to wear under regular clothing. Speaking of, you don't cover your armor when you walk around, but you really should," he continued. "I have some clothes that should fit over your armor when you visit the Thieves Guild. You don't want them to see those leathers you're wearing. They're obviously magical, even to someone who doesn't have the skills to identify it."
I'd completely forgotten about covering it, as El had suggested. I guess people I dealt with either didn't have enough perception to recognize it or just didn't pay enough attention. I thanked him for the offer and took a break to look through notifications. My training was certainly paying off.
New skill, longsword, level 1, +1% attack speed, +1% damage per skill level. Your longsword skill has increased to level 2. Your parry skill has increased to level 11.
That was a respectable gain from the relatively little time spent sparring. It still wasn't enough, though.
"All right, let's continue," I said, readying myself for more abuse.
Whereas our most recent spars had been close matches where I was able to defend myself with relative ease, what happened now was something else. It took every ounce of focus and skill I had to protect myself from the barrage of attacks that came towards me. It took nearly 5 minutes before I was able to counter any of the attacks. Even then, it was a glancing blow that would have caused little to no damage with or without the elven chainmail. Just landing such a weak hit seemed to drive Rowan to push harder as he attacked with abandon. Each sword stroke led to another and another. He may have been able to launch a more successful offensive than me, but my defense was nearly impenetrable as I became more acquainted to using the parrying dagger. I could feel my understanding of the fighting style increase as we went, with each block, parry, or dodge further pushing me to better understand how to not get hit. I'd spent so much time playing the crafter and the businessman that I hadn't time to truly appreciate the thrill of combat in a couple of weeks. It was an exhilarating rush that I didn't realize I was missing. It seemed my fear of battle was replaced with a craving for adrenaline. After more than 10 minutes solid of defense with only a couple of attacks of my own, we both stopped, saluted, and fell on our asses completely exhausted. We both looked at each other for a moment before laughing at ourselves for the absurdity of the last few minutes. After we had settled down and gotten both our laughter and breathing under control, Rowan spoke up.
"Holy fuck, lad. I've never fought a person as hard to hit as you are," he said with no small amount of admiration.
"Thank you," I replied. "All the time spent with a dagger skill makes the parrying dagger feel incredibly natural."
Medium trait obtained. Skill synchrony. Requirement: successfully use an unknown skill related to a skill you know, but the level of the known skill, you used two-weapon fighting at the level of proficiency of your dual-wielding skill. Effect: you can learn new skills immediately up to the level of a related skill. Note: the new skill can only be learned up to your available skill levels based on intellect. New skill, two-weapon fighting, level 18, plus 1% attack speed and parry per level. Note, two-weapon fighting is the skill for using two different weapon types at once. Your skill in block has increased to level 9. Your skill in longsword has increased to level 10. Your parry has increased to level 20. Your two-weapon fighting has increased to level 20. Achievement earned. Talented. Increase 10 skills to level 20. Reward: 1 free level. Plus 5 intellect. World first double reward. After the sudden gain of a level 20 skill, I'd run out of room for skill levels, so it was great timing for that achievement. I threw 5 level up points into intellect and 5 into agility. The free intellect combined with my class levels to give me room for 50 more skill levels. Of course, the excitement over the new trait and levels was pretty quickly smothered by the reality of my last bit of training. He said the fastest way to level up early levels of tracking was, much to my chagrin, reading fucking books about it. So, I sat for 4 hours straight just reading about types of tracks, basics about determining direction and speed, things to look for like broken twigs and branches to show passage of a creature, all sorts of things that somehow crammed into my head in such a short amount of time. Your tracking has increased to level 10. I guess 6 levels in 4 hours without having to do any real work was a good thing, but it still felt shitty compared to the thrill of hands-on learning. I mentioned as much to Rowan, and he responded by explaining how the same hands-on training with tracking would have really been me getting lost in the woods for a day or two trying to follow tracks I didn't understand. He also said skills that were better learned by reading in the early levels were, thankfully, uncommon. That said, so much for having lots of available skill levels. I mean, I lost 13 of the 50 to those delayed skill increases, and another 6 from tracking, so it was an improvement, but it still felt like losing potential somehow. On the other hand, I had one more new notification to enjoy. New job, ranger. Requirement, longsword, 10. Dual wielding or two-weapon fighting, 10. Tracking, 10. Crossbow or bow, 10. Stealth, 10. Herbalism or other survival skill, 10. Bonus, plus 1 tracking per level. Bond with and summon an animal companion. Wait, summon a what?